Okay, today's daf is Mem Dalet. I just want to clarify, yesterday we ended with there's the one eyebrow. So when we talk about one eyebrow, that's one eyebrow with the other one missing. When we talk about the other term, now I have to remember what it is. The term is Shnei Gavim, Gvinim Harbei. So in Gvinim Harbei, Rashi says it's one long eyebrow, and the Rambam says it's multiple eyebrows, meaning there's a division in between your eyebrows, whether lengthwise or widthwise. Okay, so the one long eyebrow is under the, at least it's Rashi's commentary on Gvinim Harbei, which means one long eyebrow. Okay, Hacharum Pasul. So now we're going to continue along the list of Mumim. Okay, we're now up to the word Charum. Okay, I'll repeat the... Maybe we'll read some of the psukim again, right? There's, I'm trying to look here in the, right, it's not in the pasuk, right, it's Kol ish asher b'mum lo yikrav, ish iver o pisach o charum o sarua. Okay, so that's going to be charum. And then we're going to get after that to ogiben, which we did yesterday, o dak o tevalul b'eino. Okay, those we're going to get to. O garav o yalefet, we talked about already. And then meruach ashech. That's where we're going to end today, on the meruach ashech, what these things are. So, charum pasu. Ezu charum hakochel shtei inav ke'echat. This is if your nose is flat, that you can basically paint a line. Kol is what they use for eyeshadow. They also, it's listed in things they would use for, they would paint their eyes with some kind of medicinal. It's also used as medicine. Anyway, if you could paint your eyes without kind of having this break of the bridge of your nose in the middle, means your nose is flat. Shtei enav lemala u'shtei enav lemata. Okay, if your two eyes are situated higher than normal or lower than normal. Eino achat lemala ve'eino achat lemata. One eye is higher, one eye is lower. Ro'e et ha'cheder ve'et ha'aliyah ke'echad, meaning if, right, the cheder is on the main level, the aliyah is on the top level, what it means is that one eye focuses up and one eye focuses down, where your focus is not, I'm trying to look at the, it's not focused, right? Mimukad. It's not looking at the same place at the same time. Sachei HaShemesh, those are people who, I'm kind of giving away the Gemara and how they understand all these terms, but they say it's Sanei HaShemesh, those who hate the sun, meaning you can't tolerate sunlight.
Albinos.
Again, it's what?
Albinos.
Right, albinos. Okay, it's a. Again, these are all related to the eyes, okay? Other than the charum, everything else was eye-related. Vahazagdan. Okay, this is where your eyes, one is different from the other. We'll talk about it, what the options are. V'hatziran, you're constantly tearing. V'shenashvu isei enav. And then now we have this last one, mishum marita ayin. If your eyelashes fall out, that's forbidden because it just doesn't look right. This category we talked about, marita ayin. Tanu Rabbanan. So now the Braita quotes a Braita, the Gemara quotes a Braita. Charum shechotamo shakua. Okay, again, your nose is depressed all the way in. Chotmo soled, chotmo bolem, chotmo notef. Okay, what if it's, okay, there's a bunch of different interpretations for soled. Either it retreats back, it's short and contracted upwards, it's crooked and tilted to the side, it droops like it's very long, but some sort of abnormal nose. Bolem, it's blocked. Okay, your nostrils are blocked off. Or chotmo notef, it's dripping.
It droops below the lip.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You're right. It's not dripping. It droops below the lip. Minayin. How do we know this? Talmud lomar o charum. So they learn it from the O of charum. Again, that it includes all these other cases. Rabbi Yossi omer, ein charum ela hakochel shtei enav ke'echad. Okay? There is no set, right? The only charum is this first one that we said. Amrulo, hiflagta. Wow, you've gone way too far. Okay, now interesting. You think they went way too far in adding all these other cases. And they say to him, you went way too far in limiting it. Even if it's not just that it's totally flat, but if there's other problems, it's also going to be a mum. This line raises a bunch of questions. It's something I've been thinking about since we started the whole thing about the mumim. It almost sounds like it's a little bit obsessive that they're talking so much in detail about every mum, and for each one they're adding more, and they're kind of taking it very far. And here almost they're upset with someone else for taking it far in the other direction and limiting it. And you have to wonder, and I don't have an answer for this question, but what motivated them to include so many extra things, like they keep darshaning the O and saying the O must include more cases and more cases. And I don't know the answer.
Rare. I mean, by and large, these are not
typical.
But what I was thinking is that these are all symptoms of either neurological or genetic defects, which can also affect the brain. Now, we're talking about animals here?
No, we're on humans. We're on the
Kohanim. So even more so, they probably had less tools to handle children that were born with defects or peculiar looking. And, you know, it's also, I mean, all these, many of these, some of them are insignificant and some would probably indicate brain defects as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just their lack of, they don't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. Therefore,
right, and they're concerned. They're,
yeah.
And maybe they wanted to limit as much as possible.
Problem and they don't know quite how.
And, yeah, the other thing that I was thinking yesterday is, you know, with Nadav and Avihu, I know this sounds a little bit off, but thinking about it yesterday, everybody's so upset. How could they have been killed for what they did? But sacrifices were so important that I kept thinking, they realized that if Nadav and Avihu offered something a little bit off and they were killed for it, then they've got to be so careful with who they allow to offer the sacrifices, because clearly...
You're saying it's a way of protecting the sanctity of the sacrifice and the purity of it and the perfection of it.
But on the other hand, we were learning so much that how many people actually came up and were involved in the sacrifices, that there were such masses that how could you maintain that sanctity and that stewardship?
Mm-hmm. It could be also, look, again, there's this idea that the Mikdash is a place of perfection. Right? It comes up, the word tam, and tamim, and it comes up a lot with in connection with the Mikdash, and maybe that's why they're trying to go as broadly as possible to define who can't be involved in this. Number one is because the Mikdash has to be this place of great sanctity, and as we said before, the issue of the way people are going to view it. And maybe that's why also, you know, it could be also it reflects maybe even a problem in their society that people were so... And, you know, unfortunately in our society, too, people are just scared of anyone with some sort of defect, and it bothers them when they look at it. And because of that, also, they want it to be all the more so, let's go and include all these cases as Baalei Mum, so that we don't have any kind of this going on in the Mikdash, which might affect people. And that's why, you know, they kind of took what's said there and extended it to so many other cases. But in any case, it's very... interesting to see this whole agenda to, you know, I think we see this throughout. It's interesting that we see Rabbi Yossi was trying to limit it, and they got upset with him for limiting it. You know, even the way they reacted to him, it's very interesting. Hey, Flogta, what, you went so crazy just to say only this case? Why are you being so limited? Shtein av lamala, shtein av lamata. Ma shtein av lamala, shtein av lamata. What is this case? So again, the problem is I kind of described it to you already, but you have to understand they're kind of raising what is it. I'll put it like this. Either it could be location or it could be focus of the eye. So if you want to say, now we said it meant location of the eyes, but the placement of the eyes. But now they suggest maybe the opposite. If you want to say, Einav lamala, dechaze lamala, that the eyes are always looking upward. Shteinav lamata, dechaze lamata, that the eyes are always looking downward. Then what will happen? You would say, means one focuses up and one focuses down. Well, if that's the case, then the Mishnah makes no sense because, right, if you want to say, meaning that's where it's looking, hainu, that's exactly the same as the next case, which was, so basically, there's these four cases, right? Einayim lamala, einayim lamata, one and one, and then someone who sees the house with one eye and sees the upstairs with the other eye. So once you have that as being case number four, it's obvious the case number three can't be that, which means the case number three must be placement of the eye, which means the case number one and two must also be placement of the eye. Okay, that's what they say. So therefore, Ela Shteinav, and here comes their explanation, Shteinav Lamala, Dekaim on Lamala, that they're placed upwards on the face, Shteinav Lamata, Dekaim on Lamata, that their location is far down on the face. Einoachat Lamala, Einoachat Lamata is, again, placement, one is higher, one is lower. Vekaime Kisidran, Nami, and even if they're in, and then they say, look, even if they're in their proper location, is also right. You're also going to have nami, but right. You're also going to have ro'et ha'cheder ve'etaliyak echad is another mum. Now they want to know where do you get all this from? Minan emile, right? The Torah, the pasuk just said iver, okay, blind. So where do you get this also? Oh no, because besides saying blind, they have all these other words. Ditana Rabbanan be'eno. Okay, notice it said, I'll read you the pasuk again. Ogiben odak. Okay, dak is a problem with the eye. O tivalul be'eno. Okay, so they say the word be'eno, tivalul, we already know is an eye problem. So why does it say be'eno? Call Masha Be'eno, any eye issue he has, obviously, how far you take that, you know, is also a question. Again, you see this agenda to include all sorts of other things. Mikana bru, shtein av lamata, u shtein av lamala, eno achat lamala, eno achat lamata, v'ruet acheder v'etalia ke'echad. Oh, and they even add this other one, shemitaberem chaviro v'echad omer li ro'eh. He's looking at someone, he's talking to someone, and the guy next to that person said, oh, he's looking at me while he's talking to you, right? His eye doesn't have proper focus. Tanu Rabbana. Now we're going to have a braita that darshans all these psukim about eyes and blindness and how we can include all sorts of other things. Iver. What does Iver include? Bein suma b'shteina, bein suma b'ayin achat. Whether one eye can't see or both eyes can't see. Chavarvar v'hamayim akvuim. Remember, we saw that by the animal. It has these white spots in the eye, which block the vision, or there's constant water dripping out of his eye. The assumption here, we're going to see this later, but the assumption is that you can't see. You're basically blind from this external thing that's going, or something that's going on in your eye. It's not the same as a suma. We're going to see how the Gemara defines the difference between them. So how do we know minayin, those cases? Talmud lamar ish iver. Because it says, Lo yikrav ish iver o puseach ocharum. They say, why do you need the word ish? Lo yikrav iver. It would be, it's obvious you're talking about an ish. So they say ish iver comes to include the chavarvar and the mayim akvuim. Amarav, lama li dekatav rachmani ish iver dak tevalul be'eno. Why do we need all these words to describe problems in the eye? We have ish, iver, dak, tevalul be'eno. Five words. So what are they going to say? Tzricha. You need all of them. Okay, they're going to say each brings a new category. If you think the Torah just, if the Torah had just written Iver, what would you say? Mishum delinihu klal. He doesn't have eyes at all. Okay, aval. I assume it means that the eye is closed, or I don't know exactly what they mean here. He doesn't have an eye, because blind people do have eyes. But anyway, basically, just distinguish between there's an eye. And there is no eye, and there's an eye, it just has something blocking it or something wrong with it that it can't see. I'm not 100% sure the difference here.
By the way, there are actually, I don't know what it's called, where the eye is closed and the person cannot open it at all.
Uh-huh, so maybe that's what they mean by iver.
Or they mean an eye that is either, the it's not shaped the right way.
Uh-huh, there's something.
Yeah, that.
Some gum in the eye that's not that there's white spots or something covering it or something more external, I guess you could say. But the eye itself is problematic. I guess that's what it is, that the eye is problematic versus there's something on the eye that's causing it not to be able to see, something a little somewhat external is causing the problem. So if you just had Iver, you would have thought that's when, let's say, according to the Gemara's words, there's no eye at all. Aval chavarvar v'mayim akvuim de'itnu hube, where there is an eye, it's just blocked. The vision is blocked, low. And therefore, katav rachmana ish, to include those cases. V'i katav rachmana ish, if it just had ish, then ish and iver. So you would have known those cases. Mishum delo chaze klal. But what's unique about those two? You can't see at all. Aval mechusaraita, but if your vision is blurred, you might have thought low, it's not included. Katav rachmana dak, which some of them explain is a cataract, okay? So there, your vision is blocked, but it's not fully. You can still see someone. Be katav rachmana dak, and then, okay, so now we have dak. So now we know, no, right, totally blind, because there's no eye, or because there is, but blocked, and partially blocked vision. But we would have thought, aval mebabalita, lo. But not if the eye is muvulbal. We'll talk about what this is in a minute. Katav rachmana tivalul. What does this mean? I don't exactly understand, but that the white of the eye is kind of blended together with the pupil of the eye, in other words, and the iris, like all of it kind of is mixed up. That's what they say tivalul is. Vi'i katav rachmana tivalul mishum divalbalan. So that, everything's kind of mixed up in the wrong place. Aval mishum mashniyuta lo. But if it just looks strange, then you might not have thought that. Katav rachmana be'eino, and that includes all these strange things with the eye being in the wrong location or the focus being off. Okay. Amar Rava, and here Rava comes and gives a nice, okay, the Gemara doesn't always do this for you. Number one, they did something which categorizes things. They don't often categorize the kind of figure. You can figure out the categories on your own. And now he does a nice review, which is nechmad, even though we already read this. Hilkach, kol machmaka yuta, if it's that you can't see, like kehe, dark, right, where it's kind of, you can't see anything, atem ish. Oh, no, sorry, that's... Kayuta here means, right, iver, we already know. They don't even need to say it. Kayuta means it's, you know, blocked. And that's we get from ish. Machsuraita, you can't see, right, your vision is partially blocked. Midak. Mivabalita, if it's mixed up, mitavlum. Mashniuta, if it's mishune, it's strange, mibe'enim. Sachei Hashemesh. Tani Rav Yosef, Sanei Hashemesh. Those who hate the sun, meaning their eyes can't tolerate the sunlight. Zagdian, what's that? Mechave Rav Huna, chad mididam v'chad mididu. Rav Huna pointed out, okay, we're going to see this pointing out a bunch of times today. He pointed to Rav Yehuda, who was sitting opposite him, and he said, one eye like mine and one eye like his. Now, it was a little bit insulting to Rav Yehuda, because apparently the way we're going to understand this is Rav Huna had some eye that, Rav Yehuda had an eye that looked strange. So he says it's someone who has one normal eye and one strange-looking eye, and he pointed right at Rav Yehuda. So, obviously, you can imagine what's going to happen now. Rav Yehuda was a little offended. V'ikpi Rav Yehuda, right? He got very offended by the fact that he said this about him. Meitive, now they're going to bring a source that goes against Rav Huna's explanation. Shegvinav shochvim, shachbana, okay, the word shachbana, it's also a mum, doesn't come up in the Torah, but the rabbi said this was a mum. What is that? Shegvinav shochvim, we saw this before, that the... It was one of the explanations of Giben, right? That the eyebrows were so long that they lie on top of the eyes. Zagdum, echad shachor ve'echad lavan. One eyebrow is black and one eyebrow is white. So how can you say that it's one eye is normal and one eye is strange? Tana, so there's a braita that explains, kol zuga delo shave l'hadade, zagdum karele. Any pair of things that you have in your body where one is different from the other is going to go in the category of zagdum. Okay, that means there's something different than the other. Okay, you have a pair, one is off. So therefore, it could be one eyebrow is white, one is black. It could also be one eye is normal and one eye is not. Hatziran, enav trutot vitzironiot. Okay, this is the eyes are, right, they're circular, like they're, how did they explain it there?
This is round, doesn't it?
They're round, small or large. Right, they're I guess very round. Right, whereas eyes are more oval shaped, they're very round. Like I think they mean like small beady eyes, something like that. Maybe not sure. Domot dofot vitordot, or they're constantly domot tearing. Okay, either dripping. Okay, either a lot or a little bit.
Thinking about Leah Yaakov's first
name. Okay. Tani, another braita. Hazadir vahalufyan vahatimir. Zavir dimazur ene, dimizvar ene, that they're wandering, okay, wandering eyes. Lufyan dinefishin zife. He has really long eyelashes. I assume they mean.
That's a plus.
Right, I assume they mean, again, way too long, okay. Timir shetimu zipin. That he doesn't have eyelashes. So now they say, what about the eyelashes? Right, this is in the list of proper mumim. Remember we had the three categories? We had the actual mumim that behemot have. Okay, it's not that, which are the worst. It's the ones that don't look like Zera Aharon, right? They don't resemble a normal person. So that's the category of mumim we're talking about. But didn't we say that missing the Risei-Nayim, you don't have eyelashes, it's in the category of only Marita-Ayin. So Hanigabe mumim tanilu, you're putting them in the mumim category, it should be Mishu Marita-Ayin, Bahatnan, Shanashru Risei-Nayim, Fasumi Pnei Marita-Ayin. Lo Kashya, Had Ishtayur Gardume, Had Lo Ishtayur Gardume. It's when there's two ways you cannot have eyelashes. Either the roots are totally gone, that would be a proper mum, and the Mishnah Mishumarita Ayin is just that there, you know, there aren't any, but not that the root is totally uprooted. Okay, new Mishnah. Einav gedolot kashel egel o ketanot kashel avaz. Now we're going to talk about the size of the eye. It's abnormally large or abnormally small, and they compare it to animals, right? Like the calf or like the goose. Gufo gadol me'evarav o katan me'evarav. His body is disproportional. Okay, his body's bigger than his right? His legs, let's say, are super long and the rest of his body parts are not. O katam mevarav, or it's smaller then, right? He has long arms, but his body, his torso is very small. Chotamo gadol me'evarav, his nose is disproportionately large. O katam mevarav, or disproportionately small. Hatsomem vatsomea, ezehu, or tsimem and tsimea, it should say. What ezehu tsimea? Kol she'oznav ktanot, he has very small ears. Vatsimem, kol she'oznav domot l'spog. Okay, where they're kind of closed up and, I don't know, how they describe it there?
Shriveled.
Okay. Svato, I don't know why that's a spog. A spog isn't exactly shriveled. A sponge is shriveled.
And closed.
Right, I didn't understand why a spog would be shriveled and closed, but okay. Svato ha'elyona udefet ala tachtona, va'tachtona udefet ala elyona. We saw this, right? The lip is much bigger at the bottom, a big upper lip or a big lower lip. Harezemum. Vishanashru shinav, if all of his teeth fell out, pasul mishumarita ayin. That just doesn't look right. Okay? You wonder, by the way, with this one, this is a good question, by the way. I saw someone who was mitiaches to this. I don't remember who it was where I saw it, but that, what if you could fix the mum? Like, let's say nowadays, you could get fake teeth, right? So if you could fix it, would that resolve it? So first of all, if it's mishum marita ayin, it should be pretty obvious that there's no problem to fix it. And it seems, I can't remember now what the... I think that from what I was reading, it seemed like if you could fix it, then it's very likely it wouldn't necessarily be a mum, but it might depend on what type of mum it is. Amarav. Now we're going to have something interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu eser amotaya. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amot tall. How do we know he was 10 amot tall? Shneemar, vayifros et ha'ol al ha'mishkan. Mi perso, Moshe Rabbeinu perso. It says, vayifros et ha'ol al ha'mishkan. So who put it on the Mishkan? There you go, you look, thanks. In Shabbat and Nedarim. So who put the O'el? Moshe did it. Uchtiv, and it says about the Mishkan, eser amot orech ha'keresh. So, Amar le Rav Shimi Bachia le Rav. Remember he asked Rav a question the other day, and Rav said, Shimiat, what, right? And we said, either, what a great question, or how can you possibly be bothering me with these horrible questions? Unclear whether it's respect or not. The same thing's going to happen here. He says, Im kenas yitol Moshe Rabbeinu ba'amum. If you say he was 10 amot tall, and an Amma, the assumption is that what? An Amma is relative, right? So Moshe's Amma was one Amma, right? His arm was one Amma. And his body was 10 amot. Well, think about how disproportional that would be, right? Look at your arm and how many amot your body is. So it would be very disproportional that Moshe was 10 amot tall, but his arm was only an Amma. Okay? If you remember, not only that, but we talked about it the other day, that the Amma in the Mikdash was an et, right? They had those two measuring sticks, and one was an etzba longer than the Amma of Moshe. So they assume that when we're talking about amot, we mean the Amma of Moshe's arm, okay? So whether it's because of that or whether it's just, you know. So anyway, what did they say, right? Ditnan gufo, and how do we know that that would be a balmum? Because it says, gufo gadol me'evarav o katam me'evarav. Amar le shimiat, right? Again, he says to him, either what a great question or what a terrible question. Ba'amah shel kodesh kamar. When we say the Amma of Moshe, we didn't mean the actual Amma of Moshe. We meant, and even that, right, when we say the Mishkan was Eser Amot, we were talking about Amot that were used in the Mikdash, which was the average Amma of an average person, okay? The Amma of Moshe means the Amma they used in the time of Moshe. It doesn't mean the Amma, the actual arm of Moshe Rabbeinu. They took the average person, and that was the size, and that's why when we talk about Eser Amot, we mean compared to the average person. But it's very likely that Moshe's Amma, just like his body was 10 Amot tall, his arm was proportionally long. Okay, again, whether these are meant to be actual or not, you know, and maybe that's why when Shimi asked the question, he was kind of saying, what kind of question? You know, I didn't mean this literally. Tana, ke'etzba ktana. I skipped a word. Chotamo gadol. So now, how gadol? Right, this is something we didn't really deal with. You know, the eye is taller than, you know, it's higher in the, how much higher? They don't really talk about it, but with the chotam, they talk about it. Tana ke'etzba ktana. Even like a small etzba, right, smaller than that, right, that would be, bigger by an etzba ktana, that would already be considered a big nose, which seems strange. That's a pretty small size, right, because when we talk about the etzba, we mean the width of the etzba. That's not, unless maybe here it means the etzba, like the length. No, they say kashir rochav. Yeah, Seems weird. So here that Rashi says, how do we measure that? In other words, you find someone who's got as big a body as he does. You know, it's funny because Jews have long noses in general, right? So they're known for that. So, you know, it's a little strange how much bigger. Okay, but you take, I guess, the average larger nose, and then it's got to be bigger than that by the width of an etzba. Hatzimeim vatzimeh, Tana. Af hatzimeh. They added in the Braita, even tzimeh. Lo habayad rabbanim, my tzimeh. Classic, right? The rabbis didn't know what this was. Where do they usually find out words from? Well, they take the nomads, right? People who wander from place to place. They're usually Arabs. Shamula Utaya. They heard there was this Arab merchant. Dehavu Ka'amar. He was saying, man to buy a tzimeh. Who wants to buy a tzimeh? They said, oh, let's go look and see what he's selling, and then we'll know what it is. Ve'ishtekach gad yachaziza. They found a gadi with very long ears. That's so long that they kind of flap downward. Amrav Chista. Now we're going to talk about, once we're talking about these things, we're now switching back to behemot and what can go on the mizbech. Eish she'en lo karnayim v'rachel she'yesh la karnayim k'sherim l'gabei mizbech. Okay, if you have a female goat that doesn't have karnayim, doesn't have horns, and you have a female lamb that does have horns, even though that's atypical, you're still allowed to bring it as a sacrifice on the mizbech. Tanya Namihachi, there's a brayta to support this. Yesh farim she'hem kimumim ve'enam kimumim. There's things that look like mumim, but they're actually not. Shochatim alehem b'mikdash avalo b'medina. Therefore, you sacrifice them in the Beit HaMikdash, but you can't shech them outside because they're meant to be sacrifices. Ve'eluhin, and what are they? This is just a bright to support what Rav Chista said. Eish she'en lo karnayim, Rachel she'yesh lo karnayim. Okay, the two cases we brought. Vatzimeach, vatzimeim, vatzimeach. Amar Rav Chista. So now about these cases. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Amemar. Natlu karnota v'zachutani mahen. If you took out the horns and the bone along with them, psula ve'em podinotam. It's enough to say, this is that in between, it's enough to say it can't go on the mizbeach. If you take off, okay, if they fell off or it was taken off, the horns with their bones, and one was, you had an animal that was born that way. But here, if someone took it off, then it can't go on the mizbeach, but it's not enough to say that you can redeem the animal. Now, tlu tlafayim, the claws, is that what they say it is, tlafayim? It's claws?
Hooves.
Oh, sorry, right, it's the hooves. If you took off the hooves, bizachutani mahem, and the bone along with it, psulim viniftin alehem. That's enough to say it's a psul, and you can even redeem it. Meitive, now they bring a source that contradicts. Now, tlu karnayim v'tlafayim, they're both in the same category, bizachutani mahem, psulim viniftin alehem. Both of them can be redeemed. So what do they answer? Lokasha, haditit akor itakure, hadi igumigume. There's a difference between uprooting it entirely or just cutting it off. Okay? If you take it out with the roots, it's like that we say in Ayin, there's a distinction. So now what does that mean? That if you just cut it off, what do we say? It can't go on the mizbeach, but you also can't redeem it. It's not enough of a mum to allow redeeming it. So they say Do igumi gume pasul. If you cut it off, it's pasul. It's really pasul for the mizbeach. We have a different source that says para. We're talking about the para aduma. Shekarnea, the red heifer. Shekarnea utzlafeh shchorim. Right. If you have its hooves or its horns are black, yagod, you can cut it off because it's not to, right. You're not allowed to have that. So you can cut it off. So how can you cut it off and it's still going to be okay? Didn't we just say it's going to be pasul for the mizbeach? So again, we don't sacrifice the para aduma, but still, it's got kedusha to it. Tirgum ha-ze'erim ilaveh zachud. It means you cut it off above the bone, meaning you didn't cut the bone off. Okay, new mumim. Dadim shochvim kesheli sha. Okay, he has long breasts like a woman that are kind of lying down, right? They're so long that they kind of fall down. Kresot sava. Okay, now we're going to get into all sorts of interesting things about this. The stomach is very swollen.
Distended.
Tiburo yotze, okay, the belly button sticks out. Nichpe, he falls from being so sick. Afilu echatli, I mean, that really means like he has fits, like an epileptic fit or something, even if it's known that it happens every 3 days, let's say. So on the off days where you know he's not going to have the fit, he still can't do the avoda. Ruach tzara ba'alav, okay, he has like some spirit gets into him, like a melancholy spirit or something. We'll talk about exactly in the Gemara what this is, or I don't know, I can't say exactly because it still won't be so clear, but they'll tell us a little more about it. Hamushpanu bal gever, which is going to be, he has very long, very large testicles or a very long penis. We'll see also how long. Amar Rabbi Abba Bereidu Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Okay, now here's the weird sugya for today. Mashchinim mayim bifnei rabim ve'ein shotim mayim bifnei rabim. If you need to urinate and there's a lot of people around, you're allowed to urinate in public. Okay, even the assumption is that they're talking about talmidei chachamim who have a certain level, right? Rashi says that they're supposed to be sanua. Okay, so when it comes to eating and drinking, a talmid chacham shouldn't drink and eat in front of other people. Interesting, right? You would have said the opposite. But when it comes to urinating, we allow him to urinate in public, okay? We're going to go a lot more in depth into this issue. They were concerned that if people held in, they need to urinate and held it in, they would get this distended stomach and it would get them very sick and it could cause all sorts of problems. And therefore, they made a big public thing about it, that you can really go urinate in public. B'tanya nami hachi, mashchinim mayim b'fnei rabim, there's a brayta that supports this, ve'ein shotim mayim b'fnei rabim, and the brayta continues and tells us, that was so far what Rabbi Abba already said, u'ma'ase be'chad shebikesh lashchim mayim v'lo ishtin. He wanted to, but he said, oh, I'm not going to do it. Right? He needed to, but he said, I'm not going to do it in public. Vinim sakre sotzavan, he ended up with this distended belly. Shmuel, okay, this is the more interesting story, I think. Shmuel itzrichle b'shabta derigle. He was in the middle of a shir and he really had to go to the bathroom on the Shabbat of the regel, of the holiday. Nagdule glima, they quickly put up a sheet between him and the people, and he urinated. I don't know exactly what he urinated into, but okay, he urinated there, sounds like, in the Beit Midrash. Ata l'kame d'avua, he went before his father after. Amarle, his father said to him, Eten lecha arba mea zuze, a sick amount of money, right? I give you 400 zuz, v'zila hadar uvde. If you could just undo what you just did. What you did was a terrible thing. Ate efshalach, you have the opportunity, you have all these people, henchmen that work for you, you know, and you could say, I need to urinate, quickly put up a sheet, and they'll do it, and great. But delo efsharle listakim, but the people who are listening to your shir, not all of them have the opportunity to do such a thing. They don't have people working for them that could quickly put up a sheet, and they will think from what you did that you have to put up a sheet because you're not setting a good example, right? We know all sorts of things that, you know, we teach rabbis, teachers, leaders of the community, set an example for other people. You wouldn't have thought this would be the example they would choose. You know, but look, you're not, and you're causing other people's lives to be in danger. But you see, right, to them, this was a very serious issue. And we're going to see, right, so far we've been talking about it's dangerous, it could cause distended belly, but now we're going to talk about other problems also. Mar Rav Ashi Itzrich Aguda de Gamla, he needed to urinate on a bridge, and he was about to urinate. Amrule, they said to him, Chamatech Ka'atya, your mother-in-law's on her way. You know, this isn't exactly appropriate. Right? Great story. Amarle, wait till you see his reaction. Be'udna, if I need to urinate like I need to right now, I do it in her ear. Maybe he really didn't like his mother-in-law. Interesting story. What'd you say?
I said, why did she
his
mother-in-law?
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, again, it could be that was the story. That was what was happening, you know. But I guess, you know, if you think of who you'd be the most embarrassed in front of, it could be that would be kind of embarrassing, your mother-in-law seeing you urinate. The tapugle, now they're going to say, so the whole assumption of this is what? The reason why you get this distended stomach is because you don't urinate when you need to. But now they say, no, maybe it's mishum alka, maybe he ate a leech. So they say, bishotate, it's a case where you see when he urinates, it comes out in drips. And then it's obvious that it's because he held back urinating, that's what caused the problem. Tanu Rabbanan, shnei nekavim yesh bo badam. Now we're going to hear a different problem that could cause. There's two holes in the male penis. Echad motzi shetem v'chad motzi shechvat zera. Ve'ein bein ze leze ela kiklipat hashum. There's a very thin membrane between where the urine comes out and where the semen comes out. If you need to urinate, right? Im nikvo zeletoch ze nimtza akar. It could actually make you sterile because if you hold it in, the pressure will cause it to make a hole in the membrane, and then the semen will come out the wrong hole, and then you won't be able to have children. Okay, I don't know if there's any truth to this at all. It doesn't sound like it, but anyway, Amarish Lakish. My dichtiv lo yebacha akar v'akara uvehemtecha. Now we're going to see a drasha from this, from the pasuk. When it says you will not have in akar akara in your among you and in your animals, right? Anyone barren? Ematai lo yebacha akar. When won't you be barren? Bizman shebehemtecha. When you act like a behema and urinate whenever you want. Now we're going to have a different drasha. Some people connect this with the same thing, and some people actually say it's talking about something totally different. It's just a different way of darshaning the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, lo yebacha akar min atalmidim. You won't be barren from students, meaning you'll always have students. That's the bracha. Va'akara shelo tei tefilatcha kura lefnei makom. And you won't be, right, that your tefillot won't be barren, meaning they'll be answered. When will that happen? Ematai bizman shata misim atzmacha kebeima. Now, either it means when you urinate in public, when you know as soon as you need to, or maybe it means that you put yourself low, right? You make yourself humble. That's when you'll be rewarded with the following things: that you'll end up with students, and your tefillah will be accepted. Which actually makes a lot more sense. The connection between the behema and those, right? And someone who's humble, right, will end up with students because people will be attracted to that person. And for his humility, and tefillah will be answered because you're humble. Amar Papa. Now we get to a different issue about urinating. Lo yashchin adam mayim lo al kli cheres v'lo al makom kasheh dafke in bavel. Okay, onto something hard. You should do it straight into the ground. It'll get absorbed in the ground. Why, if you do it on something hard, what's the problem? Tamarav hayne mudure de bavel mahadra maya le'ene tam. All the slopes of Bavel lead into Nachal Etam, and that gets to Eretz Yisrael. And from there, they use it for, I think they use it for the Mechatat of the Parah Aduma. Or maybe, oh no, sorry, my mistake. Rashi says that Bo Kohen Gadol Tovel B'Yom HaKippurim. Okay, the Kohen Gadol is Tovel in that, and if you urinate on the ground, the urine's going to get there, and it's going to end up, the Kohen Gadol is going to Tovel in your urine. Amar Bai, Ha'itita Lo Takum Lahadya Ba'ampe Yanuka. A woman shouldn't urinate right in front of her child or a child. Agisa late lamba, but if he's on the side of her and not facing her, then it's okay. All of a sudden, we start to talk about right women a little bit different. Tanya, Rashbag omer, Amura chozer mevi adam lidei hydrobi. Silona chozer mevi adam lidei yerakom. Okay, if you hold in right, constipation, if your feces goes back in, you keep it in, that's going to cause this stomach issue of hydrokan. It comes up in the Gemara a lot. And your urine that goes back, basically that you hold it in, causes jaundice. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Katina, Amar Rish Lakish, Dam Rave, if you have a lot of blood, meaning you don't let blood, remember they let blood all the time there? Shchin Rave, it's going to cause boils, a lot of boils in your body. Shichvat zera, this is interesting. If you don't have enough sex and you end up with shichvat zera, semen stuck in your body, like piling up, ravet sarat, it causes leprosy. Ravet so'ah, if you're so'ah, your feces collects in your body, ravet hidrokan, like we saw. Ravet meraglaim, urine, hidrokan ravet, meraglaim rabin yerakon ravet. Ruach tzarim ba'alav, mayni, what is this ruach tzara? Tana ruach ben nefalim ba'alav, the ruach of the demon called the ben nefalim. Hamushban ubal gever, tana, mushuban babitzim, ubal gever bagid. Okay, right, the mushuban is a problem in the testicles, and the bal gever is a problem in the penis. Tana mushuban ze hakyan, hagarbatan ze balkik, they're giving different names for it, which obviously were known what they were in those days. Kayan babitzim garvata bagid. Again, it matches up. Which one to which? Ba'ad kama, so how long are we talking about? How big? Mechave Rav Yehuda ad rekuva, until the knee. Tanya Rav Elezer ben Yaakov omer ad rekuva pasul, lemala rekuva kasher. If the testicles or the penis goes all the way down to the knee, it's pasul. But if it's anywhere above that, it's kasher. Ika da'amre ad rekuva kasher. Dafke, if you get all the way to the knee, that's actually okay. It's lemata, it's any, you know, it's a matter of where you draw the line. Past that, already it's going to be pasul. Okay. Last Mishnah for today, and Gemara, ein lo beitzim o ein lo ela beitzachat. He doesn't have testicles, or he only has one. Harei zem muroch ashech. Okay, what's this muroch ashech? We're going to see a number of interpretations, and the Gemara is going to tell us what motivated each one not to agree with the one before him. Zo muroch ashech hamor b'torah. You see the same structure here. They keep saying, this is that word that was mentioned in the Torah. You can see that they're all struggling with what were these words that were said in the Torah. Already, between the time of the Torah and the time of the Mishnah, they already didn't know what all these words meant. They had to explain them. Rabbi Yishmael omer, kol sheni mochu ashechav, they disintegrated his testicles. Rabbi Akiva omer, kol sheruach b'ashechav, they were swelled. Rabbi Chanina ben Intukina somewhere, kol shemar ab chashuchim, if he's dark-skinned, okay? It has nothing to do with testicles at all, okay? All of them thought it had to do with testicles except for the last opinion. He thinks it's just you have dark skin, that's a mu. Kashile, the Rabbi Yishmael, What did Rabbi Ishmael, what was his problem with Tana Kama, who said it's no beitzim or one beitzah? Ha chaser ashech mebaile. It shouldn't have said maruach ashech. It should have said chaser ashech, right? It should be missing. It's missing there, so it should have said missing. Tanei, and therefore he said, shenim rechu ashechav, right? That they're disintegrated. Kashele the Rabbi Akiva, right? In other words, you can see nimrechu from maruach. It's the same root. Kashele the Rabbi Akiva, hi, mimroach hashach mebaile. If you were right that it's nimrechu, it should say mimroach, a shmeared, right? Ashach. It shouldn't have said maruach. So what does he say? Tanish haruach vashachav. He understands maruach from the word ruach. There's a wind in it, meaning it's swollen. Kashele, the Rabbi Chanina ben Tugunis, he didn't like Rabbi Akiva said, because he said, hi, ruach ashech mebaile. It should have said ruach, not maruach. Tnei shemarav chashuchim. Now, how does he get from maruach to marav chashuchim? Think about it. Kasavar, go'inu mosifim vidorshim. What does he hold? Word scramble. You can mix around the letters, and from maruach ashech, you get marav chashuchim. Okay. Now they say, but according to the last opinion, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, he says what? It's dark skin. Now there's another Mishnah that's going to talk about Kushi. So it already says Hainu Kushi, which is mentioned in the Mishnah. So you simply say Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus lo tnei Kushi. He just didn't have Kushi in his version of the Mishnah. Okay, that's it for today. Just a bit of a sneak preview into tomorrow, just to kind of get you interested in the daf. There's going to be an interesting story of cooking up a zonah in a pot. Okay? So just kind of feelers out for what's going to be in tomorrow's daf. So if you thought today was strange about urinating in public, tomorrow gets even stranger.
I'm going to see him in which trial.